The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday that's really my Monday, and boy, does it feel like a Monday. I got gremlins everywhere. When I first, you know, I have a whole bunch of pre-show stuff that I have to do each day to get the show up on the air. You know, we're not live on the Progressive Voices Network any longer. We're tape delayed. They air us at 6 p.m. Eastern now, but we're still live on my stream. Well, for some reason, my stream at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live. For some reason, the stream is not working today. Go figure. And YouTube, though. Hi, YouTube. YouTube is up and running. And that's a good thing, because when I first went to get the stream all set up, YouTube wouldn't connect. It took me about five tries. And on the fifth try, it was the charm. So thank goodness YouTube finally connected, because we don't have our regular audio stream. So those of you who are in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com, if you would let others know that they could, if you're not getting the audio stream as in the regular manner, just click on the YouTube player with the picture of me and Laffy there, you'll get the audio today. It's just one of those things. It's out to get me. The gremlins have taken over the machine. But, you know, we persevere. We persist. All right? Nevertheless, we persist. So here we are. Today is, I want to get it right, World Mental Health Day. And I don't speak lightly of mental health. I don't find it a joke, because it's dead serious. The issue is, oh, you know what? Let's see who this is calling. Hi, who's this?
This is Jason from Simi Valley.
Hey, Jason from Simi Valley.
I got you on YouTube. I despise that you're no longer live on Progressive Voices. Why did they do that?
Something to do with Leslie Marshall leaving. She's no longer over the air. She's now internet only. And so her show is always live at 3 o'clock, and they had tape delayed her for the last year and then some that I've been doing the show live here. But because she does some work for Fox Television, the only way she could do it now would be to go live at 3. And, you know, I guess it's my turn to be tape delayed now.
Well, I just want to say I'm sticking with you. Don't worry about
that. Thank you.
And I'm sure many of us are. But one thing for you and Laffy today.
Yeah.
If you guys get a chance to talk about it, actually just more just trash people. One of my favorite fake Democrats was on Bill Maher Friday. I'm not sure if you saw it.
Harold Ford Jr.
Yes, rude little bastard.
Newsy,
exactly,
get a word in. She said maybe
that
two things the whole show.
Can I ask a question? Can you try and actually, maybe if you have time, find a way of contacting her, asking her on your show?
Yeah, I will try. I have no in with her, but what's her first name?
I'd have to look it up on the site, but what I would recommend is just tell her one thing. If you come on the Nicole Sandler Show,
I'll let you speak.
You won't be interrupted by Harold Ford.
Yeah, I had the same thing. Every time she started talking, he would interrupt her, and I turned to David. It's like he's not going to let her get a word in edgewise.
Those are the times when I wish a woman would just whack him upside the head and say, excuse me. Not that Bill Maher is perfect, but I think he does try on his show to give everybody a chance.
Yeah.
I think he tries. But I just want to say that if you guys decide to turn your attentions to that individual please be my guest today?
That's oh, we probably won't. Thing, you know, he's I so know, not well, worth the breath.
Okay. But the other thing is today is, I'm sure it may not even, Harvey Weinstein and that whole situation may come
yeah.
up today. Because speaking from the guy point of view,
mm-hmm.
from my end of things, it's like, thank you so much for making us look worse than we already are. Thank you. I have to, every time I read that story, I have to take a shower.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even read it because I knew what was coming. So, I mean, I've heard
yeah.
enough of the salacious allegations without actually reading the whole thing because it's nauseating. And as a woman who lived in Los Angeles, I wasn't in the movie business. I was in the radio business. I had my share of those kinds of experiences. I think,
by the way, you were in the radio side of things. So yeah. you understand when I tell you, oh, you had to deal with the sales vermin.
Oh, always.
That's what I always call them, the sales vermin.
Yes.
Because they, all, I looked at them and said, you do know you're just a 21st century version of Herb Tarlick, right?
Well, that's what they are. But, you know, they're aside from the biggest morning talent on the radio station, they're the ones who made the most money inside a radio station.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying to you today, and I just say a lot of things going on, because at this particular point, I'm like going, is there any chance I can slide into an alternate timeline where Hillary won, please?
I wish. I wish. And that's where I was going to go with the fact that today is World Mental Health Day and the fact that I don't make fun of it. I suffer from mental health issues. I suffer from depression and anxiety and stress and all those things. And so it's serious. It's serious that this administration wants to take mental health services away from us, you know, if they
oh, yeah.
can undo the Affordable Care Act, which he's trying to do in another way through executive orders now. I don't
I know
all the details, but this is his latest. But how telling is it that we have a man who's got serious mental health issues at the helm on
well,
a day like today?
I think you're absolutely right. Now, to be fair, also, the rest living will give you, in many cases, to varying degrees, will give you mental health issues.
That's
ranging
true.
From depression and other issues, too. Some of us, sadly, have to suffer more than others. But I will say this much. That guy is... the man needs serious professional help. This is insane, and I'm happy that you're here every day, even though I have to get you on YouTube now, so I can on my phone when I'm driving around. But I want
you know I do have my own TuneIn channel, and you can get it on that. Except today it's not working.
It is live
through my own stream. And in fact, if you go on TuneIn and you search Nicole Sandler, you'll come up with two. There are two shows that one is the podcast and one is the live stream. And the live stream will have my show when it's live and, mm-hmm. you know, Progressive Voices the rest of the day when it's working. Today is the first day in a year that it hasn't worked. I don't know what happened, but
the Kremlin's got me. I had issues with the TuneIn app that it kept dropping out on me. Maybe they fixed it. I haven't used it. I've been using Progressive Voices.
I see.
But I just want to say, as we start off the week, I'm happy you're back. You've made my day. And I just want you to remember, if they can't take a joke, screw them. I would say something a little stronger, but even here, you're a lady, and I don't want to quite go there this
well,
early
thanks.
In the day.
That's okay.
You have a good day, Nicole.
I've said worse. You too. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. You know, while we're not live on Progressive Voices anymore, you can still call the show. And like Jason, the best time to do it is probably right at the beginning of the show, because as you've noticed, with an hour, we get kind of busy. But just so you have it handy, the number is 954-889-6410. You can always Skype in to Nicole Sandler. If you call later in the show when I'm in the middle of something else, I probably won't take the call. But at the beginning of the show, you can usually get in. Speaking of taking a joke, you know, this president who is mentally ill, and again, I don't say it as a joke. I'm not trying to be funny here. His job is not to be funny. But apparently, he challenged Rex Tillerson, his Secretary of State, to an IQ test. And when she was asked about it at today's White House press briefing, or as Laffy calls it, the lying session, listen to what she said here.
Sarah, over the weekend, the president said that he wished his Secretary of State was a little tougher. And now today, he is suggesting that Secretary Tillerson has a lower IQ than he does. So my question is, why would the president want somebody who he thinks is neither tough nor particularly smart as a Secretary of State.
The President certainly never implied that the Secretary of State was not incredibly intelligent. He made a joke, nothing more than that.
Well, he
has full confidence.
Tougher.
He has full confidence in the Secretary of State. They had a great visit earlier today, and they're working hand in hand to move the President's agenda forward.
Yeah. You know what? It's not the president's job to make jokes. I know he fancies himself a comedian and an entertainer, but he's no longer an entertainer. He is and it pains me to say this. He is the president of the United States. It is not his job to be funny. That's not what he's supposed to do. And half the time his jokes fall flat. And when he's tried to joke, it doesn't work. He's not a joker. Well, he is a joker. He's demented. Like this one. This is something else. Something that he repeats over and over again. He did it again today. And he's lying.
This country want tax cuts. They want lower taxes. We're the highest taxed nation in the world.
No, we're
our
not.
Companies are not leaving so much now because we have them coming back. You see what happened. You see the announcements from companies building car plants now in Michigan. They're going to various different states. They're actually picking some additional locations. But just last week, five plants announced that they're going to build in this country.
He's such a liar.
But I will say that we're the highest taxed nation in the world.
No, we're not. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. I meant to hit the buzzer again. Yeah, so we are not the highest tax nation in the world. In fact, I went to look for a fact check on it because I know we're one of the lower tax nations in the world. And I pulled up something from NBC News from August, another time when he repeatedly claimed we're the highest tax nation in the world. No, we are not. I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked about that today as well. And she said, oh, he was talking about corporate taxes. You know, then let him talk about corporate taxes. It's still not true. You know, he states things as unequivocal when in fact they're lies. Let's see. Okay, the claim is not true no matter how many times he says it. Tax Foundation Director of Federal Projects Kyle Pomerleau told NBC News 2 years later, and I'm still answering this one, the answer is still the same. No, the United States is not the highest tax nation in the world. You want some specifics? America's tax revenue is 26% of the nation's gross domestic product, which is significantly lower than the average 34% other developed countries pay relative to their GDP, according to the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. Denmark, France, and Sweden are among those nations that top America on taxes. The U.S. tax burden per capita, $14,115, also is below average in relation to other developed nations, as well, data from the Tax Policy Center shows. By the numbers, the U.S. corporate tax rate is on the high side, but deductions bring it back down to the average range worldwide. And the fact remains that most corporations don't pay any tax. The biggest among us don't pay any taxes at all. So it's all a misnomer. It's all a fallacy. It's all a big, gigantic lie. Lies. They're all lies. And one sign of a mentally deranged mind is one who lies all the time.
Mexico will pay for the wall. Just in case there's any question, yes, Mexico will pay for the wall.
Mexico will pay for the wall.
Mexico will pay for the wall.
When I say Mexico's going to pay, they all laugh. They all go, they think it's funny.
It's not funny. No, it's just more lying. This man lies through his teeth. And I'm still waiting for the newscasters who will talk about him. You know, they use euphemisms to talk about his lying. I want them just to call him out for lying. When he lies, say that's a lie, not a misnomer, not an exaggeration, but a lie, because he lies constantly. One last question that he was asked, I think this was this morning. All the days run together on me now.
Mr. President, is Senator Corker right that you're putting the U.S. on the path to World War III?
Thank you.
We were on the wrong path before. All you have to do is take a look. If you look over the last 25 years, through numerous administrations, we were on a path to a very big problem, a problem like this world has never seen. We're on the right path right now, believe me.
This world has never seen, and believe me, those are two of his tells, two statements that he uses. Whatever it is, it's a storm like this world has never seen. It's, there are paper towels softer than this world has ever seen. Believe me, they were asking for me to throw the paper towels. No, they weren't. Those are two things he says when he's lying, when he doesn't know what else to say. So he was asked the question, are we, as Bob Corker says, on the path to World War III? And he just says, we're on the right path now. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Ah, yes, it's World Mental Health Day. Can you tell we need some mental health care around here? All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get the news, the day's news. You know, on Tuesdays, it's just what's news. And then we cut right to Laffy because we got a lot to talk about. So let's do that. We'll take a time out. We'll get the news with what's news and come back with Gotta Laugh next on the Nicole Sandler Show. Don't go away.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Bob Corker, and the president are embroiled in a war of words. Speaking to the New York Times on Sunday, Corker warned that Trump could set the U.S. on the path to World War III with its threats towards other countries.
Sometimes I feel like he's on a reality show of some kind, you know, when he's talking about these big foreign policy issues. And, you know, he doesn't realize that we could be heading towards World War III with the kind of comments that he's making. And it's like it's an act to come, and sure, that bothers me just from the standpoint of, I mean, I know that he's necessarily a warmonger. I don't believe that he is a warmonger in any way. Watch his performances. It very much feels to me like he thinks as president he's on a reality television show. I don't think he understands that the messages that he sends out, especially when you take into account they're being received in other languages around the world, what that does. I know he's hurt in several instances. He's hurt us as it relates to negotiations that were underway by tweeting things out. And I just, it worries me. I don't think he's a warmonger. I don't think he appreciates that when the President of the United States speaks and says the things that he does, the impact that it has around the world, especially in the region that he's addressing. And that's it's concerning to me. A lot of people think that there's some good cop, bad cop act underway, but that's just not true. It's like he's doing the apprentice or something, and he's just putting on an act.
Trump took the fight to Twitter, contending that Corker was largely responsible for the Iran nuclear deal, wanted to be Secretary of State, and begged for Trump's endorsement in his 2018 reelection, then opted against seeking a third term when Trump declined, showing Corker, quote, didn't have the guts to run. Trump's first ex-wife is getting under the skin of the current Mrs. Trump, the third one. Ivana Trump has a book to sell, so she spoke with Good Morning America, suggesting that as the first Mrs. Trump, she's actually First Lady.
How often do you two talk?
Talk about once in 14 days. I have the direct number to White House, but I don't really want to call him there because Melania is there, and I don't want to cause any kind of jealousy or something like that because I'm basically first Trump wife, okay? I'm first lady, okay?
A spokesman for Melania Trump pushed back, saying the first lady, quote, loves living in Washington, D.C. and is honored by her role as first lady of the United States. That contradicts a Washington Post story in which the current Mrs. Trump sympathized with the wife of a prominent Venezuelan political prisoner, saying that the White House often felt as confining as a prison.
There's this piece in the Washington Post that describes how President Trump abruptly upended years of U.S. policy toward Venezuela. It came after the wife of a prominent political prisoner visited the White House. They met in the Oval Office, where the president praised her past appearances on reality television. After hearing her story, the president then typed out a tweet calling for her husband's release, going further than some diplomats had hoped for. According to the Post, First Lady Melania Trump, who was also in the room, said she sympathized with the conditions her husband faced in jail back in Caracas. Yeah. Because the White House often felt as confining as a prison.
Despite reports of a deal reached by the president and Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi last month over the Dreamers or DACA program, the Democrats now aren't ruling out risking a government shutdown if the president and Republicans don't agree to protections for the undocumented immigrants brought here as children. Over a Chinese dinner in September, the reported compromise reached would include protections for DACA recipients in exchange for border security, but no wall funding.
Efforts to forge a deal to protect millions of so-called dreamers may have just hit a wall. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi said last month that they were optimistic they could reach a deal with President Trump on deferred action for childhood arrivals, or DACA. But yesterday, the Trump administration released its list of demands. On that list, funding for the border wall, you know, the one Mexico was going to pay for. Removing protections from children fleeing over the border, allowing local police to investigate immigration status, and limiting visas for spouses and family members. Pelosi and Schumer issued a statement saying, in part, "We told the president at our meeting that we were open to reasonable border security measures alongside the DREAM Act. But this list goes far beyond what is reasonable. This proposal fails to represent any attempt at compromise."
EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt on Tuesday signing a rule to begin withdrawing from the Clean Power Plan, an Obama plan that restricted greenhouse gas emissions from coal-fired power plants. Undoing the plan is part of the Trump administration's plan to revive the coal industry and boost domestic fossil fuel production. The federal government's waiver of the Jones Act for Puerto Rico expired Sunday night and won't be extended. After Hurricane Maria destroyed most of Puerto Rico, the DHS temporarily waived the shipping law that bars the island from receiving goods carried on ships built in or operated by other nations. Without the waiver, imports are expected to slow and double in price again. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, every Tuesday we bring our mental health stress down a couple of notches with Gotta Laugh, she of you know, Twitter and thereabouts. Hi, Gotta Laugh.
Yes, you've reached the Trump Got Corker Screwed hotline.
Ooh.
Ooh. Press 1 if you think when Corker called the White House an adult daycare center, he wrongly assumed Trump and his minions are as mature as toddlers.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think Corker's concern that Trump could easily start a third world war was, incredibly, one of the least offensive things he could have said about him.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think Trump rejecting Corker for Secretary of State because he was too short is ironic when one considers Trump's own physiological shortcomings.
I saw that coming.
Yeah, I knew you did. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I loved that today. Gosh. It was little Bob Corker, little yeah. With two D's.
Little A.
What? With two D's?
It was little A. It had an accent. It had like an apostrophe after yes. The E. So it was L-I-D-D-L-E apostrophe.
Yeah. Made no sense. And it was like Hafifi.
Yeah, exactly. He had too much bathroom time this morning, sitting on his little toity, just tweeting away.
I guess. Well, he already used little with two T's for Marco Rubio. So, you know, but then again, his vocabulary is kind of little A. So
It's kind of limitedly.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, Corker has been in meetings with Trump. He's the chairman of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations.
Right.
So he kind of knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. And he was. He was considered as a vice presidential pick. He was considered for Secretary of State. And I even said something. I said to David, he won't pick Corker because he's too short.
You were right.
I believe I was. And you see, these are the things that Donald Trump cares about, because it's obviously what's on his mind.
Oh, what's on what's left of his mind, if he even had a mind to start
right.
with. I mean, what's on his mind is making himself look important. What's on his mind is soothing his own ego. What's on his mind is fighting back every way he can, because it's all he knows how to do. He has nothing on his mind. All he does is respond.
You're correct, with lies, mostly lies and
no.
and bad attempts at jokes. Would somebody please tell him it is not his job to make a joke, that when he's the president, people take his word literally?
Well, actually, he calls them jokes, but he is not joking. He says things that are insulting or offensive or dangerous, and then when he's called out on them enough, he claims
they were jokes.
I have a tweet about that coming up in TweetSpot, because I put up a few tweets from today's lying session, and one of the things was about joking, so I wanted to point that out.
Ah.
He doesn't joke.
No, that's his fallback when something, you know, crashes and burns. Something he says,
exactly.
He's called out on it. Just like Sarah what do you call her, Huckabee-S was saying?
Huckabee-S, yeah.
That was a joke. No, that's not your job. Stop joking. You know what?
Exactly.
Leave the Oval Office. You want to joke? Joke all you want. Go back to television. Get out of the White House. And then
he wants equal time on the late night shows.
I know.
Go joke on those.
Isn't that hysterical?
He is a joke. I mean, he's a terrible
a bad
joke,
joke,
but he is a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
A really bad
anyway,
joke.
Anyway, well, you want to go for TweetSpot?
Sure.
I got a few.
Let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
Tweet. Okay, so CNN tweeted an article that was titled, Trump is playing zero-dimensional chess. And Representative Ted Lieu, who we adore,
yes,
who I want to marry, he said, analogy of Trump playing zero-dimensional chess is not quite accurate. Actually, Trump is playing solitaire without a full deck.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, I need my... my bum bump.
Yeah, oh yeah,
I don't,
we do need that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ted Lieu is a master at this. He is trolling Trump hard, and he's good at it.
He's great at it. Ted Lieu's Twitter feed is full of slams, as it were.
Yeah.
Yes. He's
and
very
and they were very appropriately worded, and he's
mm-hmm.
he's sharp as a tack. We follow each other, and so. I give him likes, which he really likes to get. So I hope everybody follows him on Twitter. He's well worth it. Anyway,
yes.
Digby, our friend Digby.
Digby, who will be here Friday, by the way.
Oh, great. Yeah, she's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Her tweet was, pundits/analysts calmly explained that Republicans can't criticize Trump because they must get reelected. And then she does hashtags patriots, hashtag profiles and courage.
Right.
And I have been on a thing about this for months now, but this whole thing, you know, where the GOP Congress is equally responsible here for Trump's presidency continuing and the way it's going. They could be fighting him. They could be impeaching him. Well, maybe not quite yet, but soon. They could be calling him out. They could be standing up to him.
They could
they
be doing what Ted Lieu wants, which is for legislation to pass that requires an act of Congress before a president can launch a nuclear attack,
yes.
which
yes.
right now is not required. Believe it or not, if one thing should scare you in your lifetime, let this be it. It does not require an act of Congress to launch a nuclear weapon.
Right. And somebody was tweeting me about, well, the generals should stand up to him then. I said, how? How can they do that?
If they
He's
do,
got the codes.
That's a military coup.
Right.
And you don't really want that either.
Right.
I mean, look, I would hope that somebody of a saner mind would step in should Trump try to launch us into World War III, or worse, But then again, that would be a military coup if one of these generals stood up to him. So either way, it's a lose-lose situation. Either way, we're screwed.
And meanwhile, he may not start a war on his own. He may not be the first strike, but he's doing every single thing he can to provoke North Korea into doing something that he will then use as an excuse to strike back.
Of course.
Which is how he handles himself on Twitter.
Yeah, well, he thinks everything is funny. He thinks, you know, you can go ahead and call a nuclear-armed world leader Little Rocket Man and that there are no ramifications.
Or he thinks there will be. I mean, my point is that he does what he does in with his speeches, with his campaigns, with his rallies on Twitter, where he provokes somebody enough where they start attacking him. And then his excuse is, I just fight back.
Right.
I just fight back. That's what, you know, Sarah.
They hit me. I hit him back. Right. They hit me. I hit him back.
So joke or no joke, if he provokes somebody enough where they start a war and then he can just say to us, hey, I had to defend myself. Then he lets himself off the hook. Not that we would, but that he's thinking he's letting himself off the hook that way.
Yeah, meanwhile, a major American city is going to be nuked.
Yeah, I think I live in it.
Don't even. By the way, I know that you're not near where the fires are, but for those who don't know where you live, you're safe. California is just burning.
Oh, it's a mess. Up north in Napa and Sonoma, oh, gorgeous area. Just beautiful with all the beautiful vineyards that are all going to go to hell now because, you know, our economy, part of our economy will be shot from this fire. That's a huge mess. It looks like a war zone. Then near Disneyland.
Yeah, down in Anaheim. Yep.
Yeah, there's another big fire, and it's getting worse by the minute, really bad. Like, again, you know, a lot of damage, and I can't remember if there was a death from that one or not. But
I think they're saying now at this point there have been 11 deaths so far, but there are a lot of people still unaccounted for, like 100 people unaccounted for. So
right, and that could also be because they're just not able to keep tabs. I mean, there may be people who are safe or just not able to, you know, they didn't get the list done properly, but or not able to contact them because the phones are down. But I'm in between the two. I'm north, just north of LA. And, so we have nothing going on here, but a lot of wind, which has suddenly settled down, which I'm very happy about. But this is fire weather everywhere. I mean, our area, I'm waiting for the next fire to start.
Yeah. This is the time of the year and the Santa Ana winds blow and they bring in the hot desert air pushing out towards the ocean instead of off the ocean. Anyway.
Yeah, it's been in the high 80s here. And I remember when I was a little kid being against the fence in our recess yard, you know, in our play yard, looking at a fire just several yards away because the school was located near some hills. And it was in October. It's always the same. We get all the winds, the Santa Ana winds, the hot weather, the dry brush, and we're stuck, you know.
And now with climate change, it's only going to get worse and worse.
So. Oh, yeah. Yep. The fires are more intense because we've had less rain.
That's right.
So it's harder to put out. Anywho, so Tony Schwartz, who is the actual author of Art of the Deal, he actually wrote the words.
The ghostwriter, right?
Yeah, well, he...
But he wrote it, yes.
He wrote it. His tweet was, consensus grows. Trump is a clear and present danger. Keep calling it out. No human more imminently threatens our survival. And then he puts as a hashtag nuclear codes. Now, he knows something about Trump.
Right.
But, like everything.
Right. But, you know, how much blame does he get for writing that book to begin with?
Yeah. Well, he has said that he feels terrible about it.
Does
he did it for money. And, you know, at least he admits it. At least he says, I regret this. But in the meantime, he's been doing everything he can to open our eyes to Trump. So, you know, give him some credit for that. So the Hill put out former Trump aide said Corker should resign if he can't support Trump.
This is a new talking point from the right.
Yeah.
This is what all of the Trumpies are saying.
Right. You know, like you should dare criticize the king. And you should not have a job because, you know, the king.
Right.
And Joshua Holland, our friend who writes for The Nation, Rolling Stone, he said, so much for co-equal branches and all that quaint constitutional stuff.
Right.
Yep. Which is true.
It is true.
You know, and it goes along with Trump blocking people if they say anything to him.
It goes along with Trump calling out anything as fake news if it's not fawning positive coverage of him.
Exactly. That is exactly right. Mm-hmm. Erica Werner from the AP, she tweeted, Mark Meadows' response to Corker interview, comments are not appropriate, not representative, quote, it's easy to be bold when you're not coming back, to which Washington Post Greg Sargent replied, we know we are enabling a dangerously unfit sociopath who is putting our future at risk, but those of us running again can't say no. And this goes right
can't
along
say
with
so.
Us.
Those of us running again can't
say so. Sorry, can't say
and
so.
That's the point Digby was making in that earlier tweet you read, which is the people who are running are so afraid of the Trump base that they're afraid to say anything negative about him for fear it'll, you know, haunt them at the ballot box. Then you got Steve Bannon, who is running primary challenges against pretty much every incumbent Republican, you know, mainliner.
Except Ted Cruz.
Except Ted Cruz.
Well, these cowardly Republicans criticizing instead of supporting Corker are the problem. And, you know, then we get, like you said, Bannon supporting somebody like the Blackwater guy.
Eric Prince.
Eric Prince to run. Look, you know, and they've got the Mercer money behind them. The Mercers, if you haven't read Jane Mayer's New Yorker article
on
Dark Money about the Mercers. Go read it. It's long, but it's riveting and it's informative. And if you don't read it, you will not understand who we're talking about when we say the Mercers. They're like the Koch brothers on steroids.
Right. And they are Trump's money people.
And they're also Breitbart's money people. Bannon's money people.
Even more so. Yep.
Yeah. So they're dangerous. They're a little off their rockers. If you read this article, you'll see how paranoid they are, at least the father. The daughter is the one running a lot of the stuff now, and it's scary as hell. So anyway.
Ari Fleischer has. Wow.
He's been active on Twitter, and he's been on TV, and we have to look at his face and we turn it off. Bias in action. Pence walking out is a, quote, stunt. Players taking a knee is genuine.
It is.
The MSM really doesn't get it, he says.
So is he being sarcastic?
I don't think so, because Paul Waldman, who's in writes in the Washington Post, said, dude, no one's claiming Pence doesn't sincerely hate black athletes expressing their opinions. It's the conceit that it was spontaneous. So, yeah, they're faulting. Oh, you know, this whole thing with Pence, I have a tweet about it later that's coming up from today that we'll go into more. But it was staged. It was the whole idea that he was there and then just left and didn't, you know, nobody knew he was going to leave. Where the press.
Everybody knew he was going to leave. He knew that everybody that was with him knew he was going to leave.
Yeah. He told the press pool, don't come in. He might leave early. Well, of course he knew he was going to leave early. Mm-hmm. It was all staged. And the fact that Trump tweeted out that he told him to do that pretty much.
Right. And they knew that San Francisco was going to do it because they're the only team that has had players take a knee in every game. And that's where it all got started with Colin Kaepernick.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Okay. So the Walter Schaub, who was the former director of the Office of Government Ethics, he tweeted price of flight. This is about Pence, $30,000 per hour. Security, $1 bazillion. Ticket, $93. Hot dog, $17. Choreographed denigration of First Amendment, priceless.
That works.
And if you don't know what that's from an old commercial for MasterCard, I think.
I thought it was American Express.
American Express? Maybe it was American Express.
I think so.
Probably right. I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. He wasted a bunch of money on top of everything else.
Yes, he did. A bunch of taxpayer money.
Yeah. We got to pay for this little.
Yeah. So after Tom Price is forced out, after, you know, Mnuchin and his $1 zillion private jet flights and what's his name? Scott Pruitt over at EPA, that this cabinet likes to take their private planes at our dime or our $10 bill, as it were. They go and spend all this extra money on this stunt.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. They are great at saying drain the swamp, but they have filled it up with their little scumbags and then some. And they're doing exactly everything that they called out. So you know, it's the typical hypocrisy of the Republicans, and even more so with this terrible...
Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
It's Opposite World. It's do as I say, not as I do.
Exactamente.
Yep.
So political writer Pascal Emmanuel Gobry. What a great name. He said the problem with Corker's attacks on Trump isn't just the hypocrisy. It's that he's a living symbol of what made Trump possible. And that's so true.
That is true. You know, Corker, when he first started making these statements about Trump, I thought that's so odd because he was one of his early big supporters.
Right. He was on stage with him. And that's where we could see that he was so much shorter than Trump.
Yep.
He was stumping around for him. And, you know, so we're in this weird position. I found myself in this weird position of siding with people I can't stand. You know, like this thing with Corker. I'm like, yeah, call him out, Corker. Sell it like it is.
Yeah.
But by the way, I hate you. You know,
right.
It's terrible. I've been doing this with all the Republicans who go on air who are criticizing the Trump administration and want to see them gone. You know, I'm siding with people who are charismatic speakers like Rick Wilson, who is fantastically witty. But if we were to then get into a different argument with him, I would hate him.
Right. It's like I've become such a big fan of Jennifer Rubin's because she's the op-ed columnist at the Washington Post who writes a conservative column. Now, I'm sure if I had been reading her during the Bush years or during the Obama years, I would have hated her. Now, I don't know how she was on Bush, but certainly if I had been reading her during the Obama years, I might not have been in such agreement with her. But I'm just loving her these days because she's spot on everything having to do with this guy. It is nice to see the upside in some Republicans, that they're not all 100% evil, that some of them, they're actually, you know, reasonable, well thought out people who get it. Who know that, you know, the other one is this, the columnist Bret Stephens from the New York Times, another conservative editorial writer who I don't agree with everything he said, but he wrote an op-ed the other day, repeal the Second Amendment. It's like, yes, please. Now, some of it went to a place where I didn't agree with him, but I liked the overall theme. Repeal the Second Amendment. It's the only way we're going to get around this stuff. It's the only way we're going to fix it.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I remember when he was hired and everybody was railing about, why did you hire him, New York Times? But yeah, and I hate to even say this, but I've been agreeing with Max Boot.
I don't know him.
Max Boot is a conservative writer. He has a column in the LA Times. For years, I couldn't stand him during the Bush years or during the Obama years.
Mm-hmm.
I guess during the Bush years too, because he probably supported Bush. I can't even remember anymore. But I remember when I'd see his name, I just, you know.
Yeah. Well, the fact that we're agreeing with these conservative writers, but it's nice to see, you see, the only ones who are standing up for him are the ones that are up for reelection
that need
his voters.
Right. What makes me annoyed though, is that we have to depend on conservative writers or, you know, spokespeople like that for the credibility to attack Trump, because if a Democrat does it, or any, you know, anyone who's on the left at all,
right,
we're given no credibility because we're just, you know, it's politicizing everything. But if a Republican criticizes him, that's good.
Yeah, well, because it means more. Just like people used to give me all kinds of shit, all kinds of grief for criticizing Obama. And, you know, I did it because I cared, because I wanted him to do better. And I thought that was my responsibility as a liberal commentator.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you. I would get help from, you know, from people too, if I would so much as disagree mild terms.
Oh, even today, if I say something, you know, he wasn't a great president, I'll get a hate email. All you do is bash Obama. Look at what we have now. It's your fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
right.
My
I
fault.
Know. You know, and I always used to preface and still do if I criticize him, although I really don't criticize Obama anymore. For obvious reasons, he's just not around, you know, as much anymore.
Right.
But on the I would always preface it with, look, I like the guy. I think he has done some wonderful things. I personally think he's adorable. You know, I think his personality is fun, mm-hmm. and he's charismatic, funny guy, clever. I admire him as a person a lot. I
think you could tell when he was joking, when something was supposed to be a joke. Wow.
But I did disagree with some of his policies. And, mm-hmm. and even when I would preface it with, hey, I like the guy, but, you know, I would lose followers from that. I would have people, you know, saying the same things that you just said about, you know, you traitor. Yep. Anyway, Nick Jack Pappas, he's a comedy writer. He said Republican congressmen are against birth control, but they're willing to make an exception for their mistresses.
Ooh,
hands off my BC.
Right. Yeah. Even against abortion, but they're willing to make an exception for their mistresses.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as we know from that guy who quit.
Yep.
And then Adam Kahn said Trump told Howard Stern he was very pleased that then girlfriend Melania has been consistently taking birth control pills.
Ugh. Way too much information.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Christina Wilkie. She works for CNBC, and she's a great tweeter. She has great information. She live tweets Hucka BS all the time. I love her stuff. Anyway, she tweeted, surreal. White House puts out a press release filled with praise for Trump's immigration plan from his own employees.
That's amazing.
Which is the same as when he had them around the table, his cabinet around the table.
Yeah.
I have this so small, but the press secretary released what they are saying, praise from the president's cabinet for the new immigration priorities. It's not even worth, you know.
No, but you've got Jeff Sessions. You've got Elaine Duke, who's the acting director of Homeland Security. You got Wilbur Ross, of Secretary of Commerce, and Rex Tillerson, the president's best buddy these days.
Yes, Rex, because now they're going to compare IQ tests, you know.
But that's a joke. It was a joke.
No, it's for real. Anyway, Lindsey Graham tweeted, really enjoyed, this was yesterday,
mm-hmm.
really enjoyed a round of golf with Trump today. President Trump shot us, and his words, I never say those words together.
I don't know.
A 73 in windy and wet conditions, to which I said, wow, windy and wet conditions, like Puerto Rico's, you know, the place where people are dying.
Uh-huh. Huh.
How could he say
That's
that?
3 days in a row that Trump has been golfing. Meanwhile, he's bitching about the Senate being on vacation because the Senate is out this week.
Yeah, that's some of my tweets today, which I'll get to, but absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. But how could he actually say those words? We're golfing in windy and wet conditions without any self-awareness at all.
Unbelievable.
And I was just stunned when I saw that. It's bad enough that they're golfing and yes, everything you just said.
Uh-huh.
But to specify windy and wet conditions was just tone deaf as anything.
Yes.
Boo Man Tribune's Martin Longman said, hey, Trump, how about we forget about the wall and have Mexico pay for your cabinet's air travel?
Ooh, I like that one.
Snapperoonie.
Yes. I've got a few. Have you heard of this this Twitter account, Limericking?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the best. It's my new favorite Twitter account. They take the news and they limerick it.
Oh, if you can, send me a tweet with a link.
Okay. I'll share a couple of them with you.
Okay.
There is an old fellow named Pence whose hobby is taking offense. He does it some days in gimmicky ways as well as at public expense. here's another one. A famous producer, they say, made multiple women his prey. Evading the blame, this fellow became the prez of the U.S. of A.
Oh.
You thought that was going somewhere else.
I did.
Right. One goes with that one. TFW, you are a big star who's dodged repercussions so far. And then the tide turns and everyone learns how deeply disgusting you are.
Nice.
And so what they do is they'll do the limerick, and then the next tweet will be the story that goes with the limerick.
Oh,
so if
good.
You didn't
so
quite
then
get it,
you can link out if you want.
Yes,
yeah. It's. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, limericking.
It's well, I've got a few good. Up if you want to hear them.
Yeah.
Oh no. Okay. I had a comment because at the time that I tweeted this, there was no word from Trump on the California fires.
Oh.
Since then, apparently, he has had Pence. Issue a disaster.
Yes, he had Pence do it because Donald was golfing.
Yeah, So Pence did it. Since when do VPs do this? But okay. And it came to mind that maybe he'll come to California and look at the wreckage and maybe throw some squirt guns at us. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, yes. That might actually help.
Beautiful, soft ones.
Right. But, oh, you don't need them anymore because the fire is 2% contained.
Is it now up to 2%?
No, I'm just making that up. No. But, you know, he said that about flashlights when they had 5% of the power back.
Oh, God. Anyway, I don't know if you saw this article yesterday. It's at Politico. White House aides lean on delays and distraction to manage Trump. In interviews, senior staff and others close to the president have described a series of guardrails they use to push the president away from rash decisions. And they go on about how they have delay tactics, how they, shiny keys. Look over here, Trump. So maybe if you wait 24 hours, you won't push that button that'll start a war. They have interventions where they come in and try to talk him out of things. I mean, it's just, you've got to read this article. I'm going to give you the link in chat right this very second so you can look at it. But here we go. It's scary as hell to think that they actually have to do that. Trump would impulsively want to fire someone like Sessions or create a new wide-ranging policy with far-flung implications like increasing tariffs or blah, 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 blah. And they start trying to delay those decisions. And like Priebus would try to say, you know, why don't you wait a week? Or he would finally drop the idea or just, you know, maybe lighten up a little bit. It's a scary, they'd say, this is from Barbara Ress, a former executive in the Trump organization. You either had to just convince him something better was his idea or ignore what he had to do and hope he forgot about it the next day.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I mean, this goes on and on and on of all the different things they tried to do. And it raised the hair on my neck. Anyway, so I strongly suggest everybody read that article. I just wanted to also comment that, you know, in an interview with Huckabee, Trump was lying about how he coined the term fake news.
Yeah.
So I posted The Daily Show from 2001 that talks about fake news.
Okay, and can I just say?
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
How many years have I been saying that?
Forever.
Fox News, I mean, we make shit up.
Yeah. So he never coined anything. He said he coined some other. What was the other thing he said he coined? Is it really
priming the pump?
Yes, priming the pump. Thank you. Oh God. Okay, Dean Obadalla. He tweeted, in case you missed it, Trumpers didn't believe any of the women who came forward to accuse Trump of sexual assault, but believe every woman regarding Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein.
He's a Steen.
Yeah. He's a Steen. He's a more than a Steen.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
But it's true. They jump all over the women who said that, you know, Trump groped them.
Right.
But
they're not to be believed. But if it's Harvey Weinstein, of course you believe them. Now, you should believe them all. This whole story is just disgusting.
Oh, my God. Did you hear the clip? They had a clip from one of the, it was a woman who was wired. It was a sting operation.
No.
Oh, you've got it. It's in the New Yorker. Oh gosh. I think it's the New Yorker. I'll have to tweet you the clip. It's just horrible. He's trying to cajole her into coming into his room and watching him shower. And apparently he touched her breast the day before. And she's saying, I'm really not comfortable with this. I'm really, really not comfortable with this. No, I really don't want to do that. No, come on. Just one minute. Don't make me look silly out here. You're making me look silly. No. Just come on in. It was just hair raising. It was horrible. Horrible.
And the thing is, you know what? There are lots of men out there like that. And the more powerful they are, Trump, the more heinous they are. And yet, you know, we weren't to believe it when it was Trump. No, that was locker room talk.
Right.
But with him, it's the real deal. They're both despicable, disgusting,
horrible
excuses for men.
Ugh, it makes me sick. But according to, the Republicans, Trump is a fake assaulter and Weinstein is a real assaulter.
Right, of course.
All right, so the lying session today, what's her name said, Huckabee said, Senator Corker is not entitled to his own facts. He's entitled to his opinion, but not his own facts.
I guess only Trump is entitled to his own facts.
Yes, and wait. Only Huckabee. I couldn't believe that came out of her mouth, but yes, I could.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I have one that goes along with that. From Post Politics, fact checker, Trump has made 1,318 false or misleading claims over 263 days.
Oh my God.
It's more than five a day, it comes out to, or something like that. So I guess he's entitled to his own facts. They're alternative facts.
Alternative jokes. John Harwood, who I love, he's from CNBC, said White House spoke Sanders on Trump insulting Corker and other GOP senators. Quote, I don't think he's alienated anyone. Congress has alienated themselves.
Oh, God.
You know what? The White House and Congress have alienated everybody.
Yes, they all have.
They all have. They're terrible. This is the worst set of circumstances I can remember in my lifetime. Ah. All right. White House correspondent for SiriusXM, I guess. This is Jared Arizzi.
Yeah.
More than a. This is an answer to Emily Singer, who is with Roll Call. Emily Singer tweeted, we'd be a lot better off if the Senate stopped taking vacations. Oh, this is what Sanders said. We'd be a lot better off if the Senate stopped taking vacations, she said unironically. And Jared Ritzy said, more than a quarter of President Trump's 260 days in office spent at a golf course he owns, more than a third of his days at a Trump-branded property. So pretty much in line with what you were just
and
saying.
And not only at his own properties, but we, the taxpayer, wind up paying for him golfing at these properties, for golf cart rentals, for Secret Service, for, you know, hotel rooms, for his entourage. We pay for him to go to his own properties on these golf outings. It's really, really disgusting.
That's what makes it so galling. I mean, everything is bad enough, but the fact that we're footing the bill is just infuriating.
And he's profiting from it.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yeah. Emoluments.
Bigly.
So Salil Kapoor, from Bloomberg, he said, Sarah Huckabee said on Trump questioning Tillerson's intelligence, this is what you and I were talking about, quote, he made a joke. Maybe you guys should get a sense of humor and try it sometime.
Yeah. Well, that's...
That was the way she put it.
Here's the clip.
Sarah, over the weekend, the president said that he wished his Secretary of State was a little tougher. And now today, he is suggesting that Secretary Tillerson has a lower IQ than he does. So my question is, why would the president want somebody who he thinks is neither tough nor particularly smart as a Secretary of State?
The president certainly never implied that the Secretary of State was not incredibly intelligent. He made a joke, nothing more than that. He has full confidence in the Secretary of State. They had a great visit earlier today, and they're working hand in hand to move the president's agenda forward.
Oh, the part where she said, I suggest you try it. It wasn't in there. I thought it was.
But it was close enough.
Yes.
You know,
it was a joke. Don't you get it?
Right. You know, I remember when I was teaching comedy and my teenage students would come up to me and they'd make some kind of little nasty remark. And then they say, I was just joking. And I say, no, you know, the audience has to perceive it as a joke or it's not funny.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And finally, again, this is about the Pence thing. Sanders, Huckabee says Pence was supposed to present an award at the Colts game, but walked out instead. And hello, it was planned.
Yes.
It was planned.
It was planned.
He was going to walk out. So don't try to pass it off as, well, you know, he was going to present an award and who knew that he was going to walk out?
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh. Ugh.
Yeah. See, that we're not supposed to see through. But yet, you know, Trump, he's so smart. You know, he's got the good brain, right?
And also, you know what? How are we supposed to receive jokes and laugh when Trump is about to bomb the world into smithereens and he's destroying our health care, women's rights, gay rights, voting rights, everything, the air, the water, he's destroying everything. We don't take anything as funny anymore because you know what? Nothing much is funny when it comes
exactly.
to that White House.
It's not, nothing is funny right now.
You're no.
right. I got one last one for you from Preet Bharara.
Oh, yeah.
The evidence shows Donald Trump cannot retain an ally, keep a promise, uphold a principle, maintain a story, change a mind, or show a heart.
Bingo.
Yeah. So,
good one.
On that
really
note.
Good.
Tomorrow on the program, David Silverman's going to be here. Do you know who David Silverman is?
I don't think I do.
Stephen Colbert named him Mr. Gave him his Twitter handle, Mr. Atheist Pants. He's the president of American Atheists. And he is always a great interview. So we'll chat with David Silverman on the program tomorrow.
Excellent.
Us godless people here. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta, GOTTALAFF, with two Fs. Two Ts, two
That'd
Fs.
That'd be me, yes.
All right.
Gotta laugh up, 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 up.
All right. See you later, Laffy.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And hopefully by tomorrow we'll have the stream working right. It truly was just a glitch today. I put in a support ticket. Hopefully they'll fix it. If not, thank you, YouTube, for hosting our regular audio-only listeners. Have a great one. See you tomorrow.